What is up, conscious monkeys? Welcome back to another episode of Traveling to Consciousness. As always, I'm your host, Clanky Terry, but if we're being honest, I guess I'm technically not going to be the one hosting this because we are here for part three of the podcast with Jonathan and Jacob. I hope you guys are enjoying this. If you guys are enjoying this, hit up your favorite podcast host and tell them to bring me on, especially spiritual ones, because I know, at least I think, this message would resonate with people spiritually. But anyhow, get ready for part three, because in part three, we are going to talk about how money needs to become physical, how IRS was buying up all this ammo, like why does the IRS need ammo? And we get into how this is truly a spiritual war, and then we get on to talking about the future and what the future holds. So I hope all of you guys are ready for this action-packed podcast episode, part three with Jonathan and Jacob. So guys, as always, take it away.
Traveling to Consciousness, exploring spiritual journeys to find answers in uncertainty.
It's the same thing as left and right, red and blue. You know, if you don't have a profound understanding of exactly what's going on, then the people who you trust in, you're now believing what they say.
I'll throw this out. The same points that I made about the whole Ukraine and Russia situation. If you couldn't find this place on a map 8 months ago, then you have no basis to stand on your opinion on the matter. That's just a fair statement. If you couldn't tell me last year what the situation between Palestine and Israel was, then I do not care on what your opinion of it is now. I'm sorry.
But it's within human nature to be on the side and want to protect those of innocence. It doesn't matter country you're living in. And so that's the problem. The same thing in Ukraine and Russia, the same thing with Palestine and Israel.
It gets politicized and polarized, and now we have to pick sides in America on some shit that ain't got nothing to do with America. But now this celebrity or this politician is backing and endorsing this side. This one's doing it this side. Now these different news channels, and now your political affiliation, and now somehow your sexual identity is somehow linked to a conflict that has no dog in your fight. It's fucking wild, man.
Right. And now people are being judged upon, you know, their whatever side they believe in. Oh, right. Well, you're pro Ukraine. Well, that means that you're pro Nazi, because the Nazis are fighting with Ukraine. Or if you're pro-Russia, well, you're pro-communism. And see how these things can become very polarizing. The same thing going on in Russia or in Israel and Palestine is that a lot of people want to look at that as saying, well, you know, the Gaza Strip is really Palestine's, but no, it's really Israel's.
Oh, yeah, it's like an open-air prison. Have you seen the videos of that quote-unquote open-air prison 2 years ago, the tourism videos that came out?
No.
If that's an open-air prison, that is the nicest open-air prison I've ever seen in my entire life.
I mean, we can only
take poor prisoners.
We can only take it upon the people that are living there.
A video they put out. It was a Palestinian video trying to get people to come and touristly check out the Gaza Strip. They were making it seem how awesome it was and how fun everything was and how free they were. Now, all of a sudden, it's the biggest open-air prison on Earth. Like, whoa, dog.
I mean, you know, we can only hear from each side, and, you know, we're not there to really see what's going on. This is why journalism is so corrupt.
You have to test the source, man. Yes.
You can always, it's just like, what's his name out in California? What's the...
Which one? Newsom. There's a lot of them.
Newsom, Governor Newsom. Yeah. Whenever there was buildings being lit on fire, and he's like, you know, there's literally fires going on behind this fucking guy.
This is
and he's
fine.
Saying, oh, it's mostly peaceful. It's mostly peaceful protests. That's the problem, is that they tell you one thing, but you see another.
War.
Right.
This is the language war right here. This is all what it's all wrapped up in, right? Is if you can attack someone's language, now you can't even have a conversation about what's actually happening, right? Peaceful protests. Okay, they were rioting. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Let's not try to keep re-changing the language. And I even saw this recently with the idea of slight topic shift, but the idea of like democracy versus a constitutional republic. How many times have we told, oh, we're going to invade this thing in the name of democracy? Democracy, we're a democracy. You look at the Constitution, you read it, we're a constitutional republic, which is very different than a democracy. The reason that we are not a democracy and that we should not become a democracy is because they always tilt towards tyranny. And quite frankly, the irony of it is, if you want to talk about empowering minorities, democracy disempowers minorities substantially. So to feel and to think about whenever the left, the Democratic Party, hilariously enough, wants to be on the side of minorities, if you're for democracy, you are not for minorities. So this is another part of that language war, is that we live in a constitutional republic and we need to start acting like it.
Dude, let's go in on that for just a second, because I don't think enough Americans understand what you just said. So here's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. In a democracy, the majority rule is the standard of the day. What that means is that the minority groups are always going to be ostracized and will never have their voices be heard, period, ever. I'll give you an example of this, and yes, this is a extreme contrived example, but in a true democracy, this would be accurate. Me and my family moved to a new state, new city. We don't know anybody. And for whatever reason, maybe a religious reason, maybe a racial reason, maybe just because they don't like the fact I have a beard reason, doesn't matter. The local community comes together and votes and says, you can't live here anymore. Now, in a true democracy, it does not matter that I legally bought this land and that that's my property and my house and you can all go get fucked. That doesn't matter. In a democracy, they can literally majority rule you out of your situation and you have no personal freedom, no personal rights. In a republic, yes, there is a bit of voting that takes place. Don't get me wrong. But there is also stipulations as to who can vote. Okay, and everybody has an equal say based upon what they contribute to society. And then you do, in fact, have personal freedoms and personal securities that are granted to you on the individual level.
Well, the whole idea of democracy, I mean, you to dive in a little bit even deeper as to what that actually means, think about what eminent domain means, bro. Eminent domain says that, the people of the community say that your land is more valuable to the community than it is to you. And now if community votes on that and it goes with, you know, with said government or community, whoever's trying to take your land, well, now they can do that. So what does that exactly mean?
See,
what that means is that you don't own shit. Right. If they can take it from you, what that means is that, you know, the government or the country is allowing you to live there until they need that land for something else that is for the better of the community, which is, you know, that's, is that not an infringement of rights in general? So, yeah, I get your point on democracy and how it shouldn't exactly be democracy. It's a republic democracy.
Yeah, there's a good saying. I had to look it up just to make sure I got it right. But it's a beautiful quote that'll summarize this perfectly. Democracy is like two wolves and a lamb voting on what to eat for lunch. But a republic is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
Preach.
Yes. That's good beautiful. God, I'm stealing that. That's great.
Wow. Who do you know who that was actually said by?
It says a classic saying. Let me look it up. We should give that credit to whoever said it.
Yeah,
because whoever said that needs props.
My God, if that's not, that couldn't be like drawn more perfectly.
Like, yeah, you could have it, but over my dead body.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
It's crazy. That's how it should be. So,
whereas the Spartans said, right, Milan Labe, come and take it. If you will.
Just bring it, as The Rock used to say.
Or as the Texans said with their one cannon at the Alamo, come and take it.
Come on.
You want it? Come on, get it.
Come get some. Let's go. Dude, I like it a lot.
Anyway.
So, yeah, while you're looking for that, I do want to show a little bit more of your policies of what you're hoping to implement. I really do enjoy a lot of this. I wanted to go into this whole gold standard, and now maybe this would be able to help with inflation, because there is a set amount of gold, and that's obviously the argument behind Bitcoin, is that there's a very limited amount of Bitcoin, and that's why it's so expensive. Whenever you have, you know, IOUs and thank you notes, I mean, Federal Reserve notes that aren't backed by shit other than debt, then obviously that's what allows inflation. Some people will argue that, you know, inflation is good for the economy because it allows for the new things to be made, like like whenever you funnel money into more progressive ideas such as new technology and stuff like that, then, you know, inflation is good. But I mean, you know, I would subject to say that inflation is an overall bad thing.
I'd say it's always bad, honestly.
How exactly do we get back to the gold standard? And I mean, what is your opinion on, like, how you would, you know, be able to take somebody's monetary value, and then you would really ultimately be decreasing it into, you know, what that dollar equates to as far as, what is it, an ounce of gold, a quarter ounce of gold, an eighth of an ounce, and then you start getting into grams and stuff. So how do you plan on implementing this whole gold standard?
So an important part here that I would highlight is that this is where, personally, I'm not 100% sold on the gold standard. this is the American Congress Party. Their position is the gold standard.
Okay.
You know, we've had internal conversation about this and I'm trying to understand it more. And a part of this is reading books like The Web of Debt, which talks about how, you know, we were on the gold standard, where's the power of the purse and things like this. And this is certainly, without a doubt, a section of our system that does need to be upgraded. I personally, for my campaign, I'm not 100% certain that 100%, like I trust the people within my party, but I'm not going to confidently be able to sit here today and say that the gold standard is the path forward. I trust these people and I know that they have the best intentions. But what I'm seeing is, first of all, I need to be more educated on this. Reading these books that I've come across are helping. The underlying fundamental thing, though, is needing to return the power of the purse to the government. So majority of people don't even know, and we should probably talk about the current system as it's set up today. The current system, people believe that America's debt is into China, which I thought for the longest time, too, is like, OK, who do we owe these $33 trillion to? Like, who are we paying back? Who are we in servitude to? The answer to that is the private banks. They're the ones who are in control of our money supply, are a privatized corporation. So even if you want to go back to the idea of capitalism, like in a true free society, we're not in servitude to one private corporatized entity. So this is one issue that we have. So we do certainly need to return this power to the United States government. If anyone, if it goes to anyone, it should be the United States government. Furthermore, you know, there is utility in what you're talking about with blockchain. I don't fully know. Again, this comes back to intelligence and personal maturity. I'm not 100% certain where blockchain is going to exist within our new framework, within the updated structure of American society. It seems to me that it does need to play a role in voting, as our current voting system is completely messed up. There's a strong thing for paper votes. This is important. I do think that there is a need for blockchain in the future. I don't exactly see it yet, so I want to be careful in what I'm saying there. Back to the gold standard, we do need to fix our current system. We cannot have the Federal Reserve, these privatized banks, making the call on what happens with money. We've seen no shortage of the IMF going in and destabilizing currency in foreign countries to force countries to get backed by the gold standard. You know, on top of this, we are seeing tremendous inflation because of just the absent-minded nature of just printing money without seeing a way in order to pay it back. This is where tourism comes in. And it's, if we can increase our tourism within America, then we're able to have a way to pay back this debt. You know, so it's definitely a big issue. You know, dismantling the Federal Reserve, returning that power to the people is a huge way and definitely the thing we need to do. But I cannot confidently say at this moment. In the future, that might change. I'm currently doing a bunch of research on this issue. I know that the party wants the gold standard. I personally trust these people who have said this, but I personally have not seen how to implement that. So it would be disingenuous for me today to say that that is for sure the way forward. So I definitely want to be as honest and transparent as that. But definitely getting rid of privatized banks and returning that power to the U.S. government is certainly a fundamental piece of this.
Couldn't agree more. So as far as the argument for blockchain and stuff is that, you know, a lot of that is done in code. And who has access to that code? Who has access to those transitions? And the question goes into, well, why should somebody have access to the information that is being sent or the monetary value of said Bitcoin or Ether or whatever you're using? And it's essentially like if the government were to get involved in understanding and knowing exactly where each transaction comes from, well, now that opens the door to being able to tax things that, you know, maybe used to be back in the day were never taxed. And that's why a lot of people used to deal with money, because it was kind of off the books in a certain sense. Whenever you start to get into this digital age where, you know, you got online banking and everything, you know, most transactions are done through, you know, Cash App you name it, PayPal or any kind of Bitcoin account or, you know, whatever like that. And the big worry that a lot of people have is that, you know, there's no there's no transparency in who's able to see that information that's being sent back and forth. And so getting back to the gold standard, well, I mean, if I wanted to go up to you and buy, I don't know, something that's illegal, well, now I don't have to worry about that being tracked. I could just give you the monetary value. Maybe I wanted to buy some weed off of you or something like that. Well, in a lot of states, that's illegal. Well, whenever you start to get into this tracking of the money system, it's a very fickle thing. It doesn't really matter as long as, you know, if you're into Bitcoin or online banking, because everything's being tracked. And so that's why I kind of wanted to bring up your whole idea of, you know, getting to a gold back standard. But, you know, you're very transparent in what you say, that, you know, you're kind of on the fence of it and you're still trying to learn a lot of it.
And even to touch on that, you bring up a really good point, or at least it's making me think of a really good point that you've kind of touched on that we should dive into for a bit here. Our current monetary system isn't based on really anything physical. It's really just up in the air. The government's like, we need $100 billion. And then the private banks say, okay, here's $100 billion. Pay us back at some point in time. So the problem with that is that it's not concrete, which makes money floaty. It makes it just in the air. There's nothing physical that backs it. And so this is a part of the conversation that has me leaning towards the gold standard, or even like what you're saying with Bitcoin, where it's something a bit more physical. And especially with blockchain, you know, it's decentralized, which is beautiful. Decentralization is amazing and will certainly be a beautiful thing. We need to do that with businesses. We need to, you know, in the business framework, we need to make it more employee-owned as opposed to selling our businesses to the BlackRocks and the Vanguards and the State Streets of the world. And so that's another conversation. But the point with money is that it needs to become physical. We do need to have a way to have this, a physical attachment to money. Otherwise, it's just going to be floaty and it can just float to infinity. Look at what's happening in Venezuela. You know, there's people making like these, it's actually kind of cool, these ornate structures of like artwork out of their bills, but their bills are like 10,000 units of their currency, and they can make a really cool piece of artwork, but it's going to be trillions of dollars in their currency. But then in US it's like $20. Right. So, you know, we definitely need some way of making money more physical and attaching it to this physical world so that it can't just float off into infinity.
Well, in a way that you suggest is kind of by doing that is by eliminating the IRS. Now, I know that a lot of people can really get behind that because, you know, there's even been a flood of people who have worked for the IRS and they start to learn exactly how the system works. I don't know if you've seen those videos. They're like, hold on, the IRS is not like it's not a governmental entity. It's a private organization. It has no right in our government. And so that's why a lot of people, you know, they're like, yo, I mean, taxation, you know, without representation is theft, right?
Correct.
Well, I mean, if you're not being properly represented, which the IRS is not properly represented because it is not an arm of the government, it's a separate entity. And so I do believe that by eliminating the IRS that, you know, it would definitely be an overall good to, you know, everybody really, right?
Oh, for sure. We just touched on it earlier about how these government agencies can go to the IRS and say, oh, we misplaced billions and trillions of dollars. And nothing happens yet. You have Susie, exactly. We have Susie down the street who misplaces $2-3, and then they carry out a whole raid on her house. I mean, what was it? I think was it Obama or maybe it was Biden's administration where they started arming the IRS.
Like, I was going to say, let's not forget that literally the year before, they started taking in people to the IRS to be the armed wing of the tax service.
Well,
one marinade, y'all.
And not only that, they're asking you to put on your tax forms what you stole, bro, and the value that of stolen goods.
Wait. The thieves also have a little form?
It's crazy, dude. Yeah. It's crazy.
It doesn't make sense.
I didn't know about the theft clause. That's pretty fucking good. Hold on. So you're telling me like if I just went and like robbed a little liquor store, like rioted and like kind of plundered a building and took on a couple grand of, you know, new merchandise. When I go to claim my taxes this year, I better, you know, account for that so that everybody knows what I actually have. Yep. That's about the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
Account for your stolen goods, which is absolutely crazy.
Here it is. Yeah. Illegal activities. Income from illegal activities, such as money from dealing illegal drugs, must be included in your income on Schedule 1, Form 1040, line 8Z or on Schedule C, form 1040, if you're self-employment of your self-employment activity. Stolen property. If you steal property, you must report its fair market value in your income in the year you steal it, unless you return it to its rightful owner in the same year.
Wow. Could you imagine your local, you know, thief or criminal or drug dealer or whatever filling out their tax forms that year to make sure Uncle Sam gets his cut?
Taxes.
Oh my God, tax this dick, Uncle Sam. Are you kidding me?
I never met a drug dealer who claims his drug.
I've never met a drug dealer that was like, I really like the United States government. Let me tell you about them, you know?
But what's even weirder is the fact that, you know, that is going to, like, let's just say that somebody is dumb enough to do that, which I can't imagine there are people that do that. But let's just look at it for what it is. If there is somebody who was to upload that information, you know, this is the amount of money that I made. You know, as a 1099 tax employee, you know, and I'm going to report that. Well, what would be the actual reason for wanting to do that? And also look at it conversely from the IRS's end. The IRS is saying, yo, I don't give a shit what illegal activity you got going on. We going to get that money, son.
You know, I could actually see this being brought up to somebody like who's already in jail. Like, let's say like a jewel thief or some shit. He's already in jail and they've already got him behind bars for X amount of years. But now they want to make sure that they get collection for all the damages stolen. So they're going to make sure that for his fiscal year, he'll file his taxes from the inside, making sure he accounts for every dollar of his stolen goods so that Uncle Sam can make sure they get their insurance on the back end. You see what I'm saying?
It's insanity, dude.
They're making sure that no matter what the situation, they will get their cut, period. Yeah. That's wild.
And to emphasize that, to emphasize that they'll get their cut, I just pulled up an article. It looks like it's from the New York Post, dated May 2nd, 2023. IRS has spent $10 million on weapons, ammo, and combat gear since 2020. And that's the American taxpayer dollars are funding this.
A new report shows that
the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, has been stocking up on weapons, ammunition, and combat gear to the tune of $10 million since 2020. The findings released last week by Open the Books, a watchdog group that tracks government spending, reveal that in 2021 alone, the IRS spent more than $5 million shoring up its arsenal for its increasingly militarized agents. Since 2020, the oversight group found the IRS has spent $2.3 million on ammunition, $1.2 million on ballistic shields, $474,000 on Smith & Wesson rifles, $463,000 on Beretta 1301 tactical shotguns, and $243,000 on body armor vests.
So
the American taxpayers are paying to arm the government. Like,
that's not even the government. That's the IRS.
That's right. True. That's
a private entity, bro.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah.
It's wild.
We don't vote for that. When was the last time we voted on who is in charge of the IRS?
I didn't vote for that.
I wasn't present for that vote.
And also, if y'all want to take a deeper dive on those weapons that are being used, those are the grade of weapons that we actually give our military. Those Smith & Wessons, those are the ARs. Those shotguns, those are like the tactical shotguns that you see for breachers and shit. Like, it's not like this is expensive stuff. It's military grade, meaning it's made by the lowest bidder. But my point is, there is, first off, no reason the IRS should have weapons, period. Like, fucking period.
Stop. End of sentence. Yeah.
That right there. Second, the fact that they're getting this is the same group that screams that we shouldn't have military weapons on the street, blah, 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 blah. But y'all are giving them to the literal IRS. All right.
Right.
And then the amount of money that is spent on that, keep in mind, that is like the lowest bidder amount for the dollar or for these weapons. And they bought all of that ammo during 2020 and 2021. Does any of you, I don't know if you're a gun guy up there up north. I know that I am, Jonathan. I know
Pennsylvania's a big
here.
Hunting state.
Well, like, but difference is, like, how much ammo did you buy at that time? Because at that time, I was stocking up as well. Ammo prices went through the roof because of what happened in Russia, and through the roof because of what happened in Asia, and all this shit. Like, AK rounds that were 25 cents a round became like a dollar a round for a good long while there. So in the middle of all of that, the IRS is just throwing money into the dumpster fire to make sure they stock up on guns and ammo.
Think about why they would even need guns and ammo. Like, right. Think about the role of the IRS. Let's say the IRS is trying to collect money. Well, let's say you got said citizen who's like, nah, fuck you. I'm not doing that. Well, the old way of what you would do is you would throw them in jail. What's the old mob boss that got, you know, even the IRS was able to take down, what's his name?
Oh, Al Capone?
Al Capone.
That's right? How they finally got him.
And But he went to court. He went to jail. There's due process with this. You start arming the IRS agents with this shit nowadays. Well, now they're gunning down Al Capone.
See, that was Treasury agents that came after Al Capone. It wasn't the IRS, because that was kind of in a weird time when the IRS was in its forming years and things like that. But nowadays, it wouldn't be government agents who have been sworn in and have a badge and like are actual government employees. It's going to be your tax collector, literal IRS agent, private entity, private source, completely, who's coming to knock on your door, arguably with a piece on him, dog.
We're seeing the evolution of the mob boss, bro, is really what's happening.
This is the full on shakedown.
Legalized mafia.
Yeah,
legalized
exactly.
Mafia. It's well, a great way to put it.
And to get to your reduction of taxes, which also, you know, it fades into the IRS, obviously. You have a couple of objectives here that I really want to put out there, because I know a lot of people will probably agree with this. You want to let Americans keep more of their own money. I don't see any issue with that.
Hell, as
yeah. We should stimulate the economy to grow. Americans know how to best use their money. You want to eliminate the IRS and reduce taxes by over 90% by repealing the federal individual income tax, capital gains taxes, corporate income tax, payroll taxes, and estate and gift taxes. And you only think that people should be taxed whenever you buy something. And my God, if that's the way that it would be, you know, people probably wouldn't be complaining about $15 an hour if we ain't got to get it taxed from here and taxed from here and then taxed from here. We're taxed six ways to Sunday.
Bro, I saw the math on this one time. It was like, if you gave everything, take away all income tax, property tax, all these things, strictly sales tax, and you would make it 15% on every item, whether that's a home, whether that's a candy bar, doesn't matter, 15%. 10 goes to federal, 5 goes to state. They proved that will make so much more money for the country and keep so much more money in the pocket of Americans. It is insane. It would literally be an overnight solution to so many problems. But of course, we can't just do that, because that's unfair for some reason.
You're doing my selling for me. I don't even need to talk on this. That's exactly it.
I mean, it's true.
Exactly it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And so what you were getting into here is implementing a fair tax plan. What exactly does
that
name entail?
That's essentially the name that I've found for the most common thing that's being used. It's exactly what we just talked about.
Okay.
It basically is just the naming for that. That was like the most comprehensive thing I've found that is doing exactly what we're talking about. It's about a 15, I think they say 20%.
Okay.
We can ballpark that number, 15 to 20%. I'm not, you know, we can look at the numbers more in depth, but the core crux of it is getting rid of all of these ridiculous taxes that have completely destroyed generational wealth, that have completely destroyed farms, that have completely destroyed families. And only the people who it hasn't destroyed are the ones who have paid for understanding the tax code. They hide their money, they ship it overseas, they put it in different places so that the IRS can't find it. And they know how these work because they have paid the politicians in order to create the tax code in such a complex way that only they know how it works. So yeah, I mean, the fair tax plan is really the best one that highlights this, but it's everything that you guys just talked about and stated.
I mean, which is interesting. I'm sorry. But which is interesting whenever they look to bastardize these people who have learned how to game the system. And all you're really doing is learning how to beat around the bush and not have to pay taxes to the IRS. You know, we bring up Donald Trump here for a second, and that whole idea of let's see his taxes. We want to see his taxes. We want to know how much money he funneled into the economy. And eventually they got the taxes and they saw, wow, yeah, he really didn't funnel that much into the economy. And they were trying to bastardize that. But the problem is that there is a legal loophole to, you know, getting around a lot of these taxes by implementing and basically putting a lot of that money back into the economy or in, you know, a treasury account or something like that. And so they try and bastardize the people that figure it out so that, you know, you don't go and figure that out yourself, because they're trying to suck as much money as they possibly can from you, right?
Well, the irony is think about how many jobs Trump has created in his companies. Like, he's created so many jobs that to say he's not putting anything into the economy is very laughable. But on top of all of this, I you know, it's, to me, I sit here and I'm like, yeah, like, that's a smart thing to do. If you know how to do it, that's smart. But that is not how we should be setting up our system for the good of all people. I mean, there was a famous segment when he was in the running with Hillary Clinton where she was like, oh, he hides his taxes and he doesn't pay any tax. And he's like, yeah, he's like, that's the way the system is set up. He's like, you can look at all the donors of Hillary's, And that's exactly what happens. So, you know, again, I'm going to sit here and say, like, it's smart to do that if that's the way the system is set up. But we need to upgrade this system so that we don't need to do that, so that the average person doesn't need to waste years of their lives studying the tax system so that they can have more of their money. Let's just simplify it all. But of course, you know, arguably the powers be don't want that, but we're going to focus on a system, again, going back to focusing on the reality that we desire. We're going to focus on the reality where only being taxed when you spend your money as being the reality, because that's where all Americans will be prosperous. We have so much money, so much wealth, so much ingenuity in this country that we can all live like kings and queens.
It really is true, bro. People don't understand how much of a lottery that they really did win by being lucky enough, and I, for my beliefs, would say blessed enough to be born in America in this day and age. Yes, I understand there's a lot of work to be done, and it is not a perfect paradise, no doubt. But as compared to a lot of other places that you could have accidentally been born at this day and age, yo, people in America got hooked up. I'm just throwing that out. Even the most abject poverty in America is doing better than abjectly half of the earth currently. That's a fair statement. That being said, as we're talking about the tax system and everything that this is, like, people, just to throw it out, somebody buying a $100,000 house would get X amount of dollars taxed out of them. Okay, and that would be it. Donald Trump buying a $4.9 million mansion would get taxed an equal percentage to the person that got taxed for the $100,000 house. But now let's talk about how many more jobs, how many more carpenters, electricians, and plumbers, and all the building construction, and all the contractors, and all the everything that are now going to get paid off of this purchase versus that purchase. And let's see about how much that will flow into the economy as a whole, which will then flow into them buying their own cars, which flows into that, flows into... My point is, though,
the value system is fucked. Yeah.
Trickle down economics can work if it's done correctly. Reaganomics can work if it's done correctly. The current economic system in this country is geared for that not to work, but it can. And in my opinion, it should.
Yeah, it's exactly like with what we talked about earlier, but with the idea of capitalism. In a pure freedom for all society, capitalism works. It's very seamless. The problem is that the people have used that freedom to corrupt the system. And so we really don't even live in a capitalistic society anymore. I mean, this goes back to the war on language. Keep calling something something until it changes its form. You know, it's like, we do it even with the words like Nazi and fascist and racist. We don't even know what those words mean anymore. It's crazy. Even whenever they say, like, transphobic, it's like, you know, if... that word's not even used correctly. Transphobic means to have a phobia. It means to be afraid of something.
Right. So, like, deathly afraid of it. Right.
People say things and it's like, you're not even using these words correctly. And yet just keeps getting repeated. And so this language on war keeps getting perpetuated. And it's no different here with capitalism, with democracy, with these words, with the phobias, with the word Nazi, with the word racist. And, you know, you can get into a conspiracy about, like, is this designed on purpose? I mean, to me, it seems like it is, but, you know, we'll see as time goes on. We'll disclose a little bit more of that information as we move forward. But, you know, the point is just that we need to be concrete. You know, money's floaty. If we're floaty with our words, we're going to be confused. It's not going to mean anything. And then whenever it comes time to actually seeing someone who's racist, now we no longer can judge them as actually being racist because the word has lost all meaning.
Right. And, you know, then it gets into the whole conversation of, you know, you're only if you're white, you can be racist. And, like, that is so, like, another so time. Stupid to
the
me.
The language and the words are being taken and twisted.
What is it, reverse racism?
Yes.
Like, that's the new buzzword, reverse. It's like, no, it's racism. It's right. Not reverse.
There's there was a movie that came out where they mentioned reverse racism, The Animal with Rob Schneider. The fact that the girl poured the black guy's beer first, he said was reverse racism. She's being extra nice to me because it was a bit. It was in the movie that was reverse racism. Reverse racism does not mean that anymore at all.
It doesn't exist. If you're racist, that means that you are against a specific race, right? It doesn't matter that, you know, it's coming from...
No,
you know,
because Trump was literally Hitler. Like, I don't think you know what literally means.
Right,
I don't think you'd be knowing what the English language be meaning anymore, bro.
But, I mean, speaking of Trump, there's recently been some things that have come out to where Colorado and now 16 other states are now taking his name off of of the presidential ballot.
Is it 16 now?
Yeah, it's up to 16 states, Texas included, which is actually hilarious.
Dude, I'm telling you, Texas is turning more and more blue because of the flight out of California. They have been telling them that they need to stop this, or Texas will in turn become a blue state because of their strategic fucking moving.
Bro, my point is that how do you take somebody off the ballot? I mean, I believe that anybody should be able to put their name into the pen and be able to see if they can make it. I mean, fuck, Kanye got into it with the birthday party. Like, yeah, he probably only got like 2,000 or 3,000 votes, which, hey, wouldn't get that many.
He got 9,000 in the state of Louisiana alone, bro.
Right.
Birthday party put up some numbers on the board, dog.
But honestly, whenever people are voting for that, they're looking at politics as a whole as a fucking joke. Let's just be real. But that being said,
this highlights the broken system, right? The more Trump gets indicted, his poll numbers go up. It's like the system's completely broken. And I mean, even on top of that, if you just take a second to investigate what's going on here, it's complete sham. You know, it's based on the precedent. I believe it was the 14th Amendment that they're talking about here. I might need to get corrected on that. But the amendment is like, you know, no one who is cultivating like terror or, you know, trying to overthrow the government should be able to be president, which is true. However, they're using it against Donald Trump, where if you look at all of his statements, he's all but condemned what happened on January 6th.
Right.
So first of all, and honest, and even more so, he's never even been convicted in a court of appeals or in a court of justice in regards to this. So to me, it highlights how broken this system truly is. And, you know, the people get it. The American people understand it. They see it for what it is. And, you know, I truly hope that we can do this in a peaceful manner. And I see it as being a very peaceful way for us to restore power to the people. Again, we just have to focus on that peaceful path in order for us to restore that power.
Right. Well, and I think that on the surface, right or not, you need to understand that a precedent is being set. Like, okay, like if you're anti-Trump, then seeing him not on the ballot, you're like, all right, yes, thank you. Thank God, right? Because the people or the side of the government of which you represent are being saved and they're not being messed with and you're on the side of the good and you're on the side of the winner, right? But wait until that pendulum comes back around, bro. And what's going to happen is that you're going to get caught sleeping with the bag. And what that means is that essentially, eventually, your ideals of how you think humanity should be run and how we should be governed, that's going to become outdated. Now the precedent that you set on taking out Trump based upon what he believes, well, now you're the person who is receiving that bastardization. Now your words won't have any effect and you won't get your voice heard. So I think by taking people out like Trump and essentially turning them into fucking mortar, let's just be real, it's an overall bad thing, but people don't understand the effects of all this and how that could trickle down into their lives eventually.
Well, you want to talk about literal fascism. I mean, this is what that is, the silencing of a political opposition, yet we can't even use that word because then it's like, well, no, Trump's the fascist. It's like, no, you need to look at what's happening within the system.
See, this is a sign of fascism. The word itself, fascism, fascismo, means a military strong arm enforcing the law of the government. That word in and of itself has now been taken to mean something completely different.
Exactly.
Just somebody that has like a strong will about them that is counter your views, a fascist. Oh, I'm sorry. Is he trying to like militarily mandate the laws that he himself put in? Because I must have missed that one, dog.
Right.
I don't know. I must have missed when the fucking National Guard was rolling down the streets of America to make sure that everybody was obeying the speed limits set forth by our supreme leader. I must have missed that section of Donald Trump's fucking reign. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
This comes back to the education system, right? And again, focus on what we can focus on, which is improving the education system, improving the awareness. Like what you guys are doing right here is great. Just this conversation is great. All the people that are listening, it's great because they're becoming more aware. They're being able to see the vision that we can create. You know, again, instead of focusing on, you know, the darkness that we're in, start focusing on the place that we want to go. Focus on the reality where the power is within the people. You know, meditate on this idea. If you're into meditation, even if you pray, like whatever your source or connection is with the divine, you know, being, the source, nature, whatever it is, connect with that and focus on it. Ask it. Say, hey, how am I able to bring about restoring power to the people? How am I able to get to a place where we do have reduced taxes? As opposed to following this fear-mongering that has happened time and time again. And we've slipped into it maybe a couple times within this podcast, but hopefully that's a good lesson of even for myself, because I want to transcend this into a place where we're focusing on the reality we want to create, as opposed to focusing on these political headlines that are made to capture us into a state of fear.
I love that what you're doing is that you went through all of the spiritual kind of lessons in order to get to that point of determining what is right and what's wrong. Like internally, we really know what's right. Obviously we can look at what's happening in Ukraine and Israel and Palestine and all that stuff, and we can all collectively agree that innocent people shouldn't be dying. Yet we not only allow all these things to happen, but we're the ones that are funding it. And that's like a bastardization of the American tax dollars in general. Yes, I get that we should all be here and we should all be trying to secure ourselves as best as possible. But, you know, whenever tax dollars and money is going to, you know, fund things that have absolutely nothing to do with us, then I think that, yeah, we do got to go kind of a little bit more internally and try and figure out, well, surely there's a right way to go about this, because the way that we're going about it is it couldn't be farther from the truth. It's absolutely wrong.
And that's where it comes back to the vision, right? Is like we're scrambling for that right vision, right? We internally know that these wars are wrong, but we don't have the vision, right? Is it Israel that we should prosecute? Is it Hamas we should prosecute? But again, this is a huge part of this platform, and my mission with campaigning is offering that true perspective, which is that we're on the side of the innocent people. We need to hold the leaders accountable. Anybody who is carrying out the commands or telling people to kill innocent people, this needs to stop. It needs to end. They need to be prosecuted for war crimes. And so again, right, it's about reading between the lines and seeing what the truth is. Where is it that I need to place my focus? And you're not going to find that in the media, because they don't want to give you that.
Right. Yeah, it's sick, man. And you know that, you know, what's going on in the news. Like, you know, what's weird is that I saw this, and I probably mentioned this a long time ago, but you know, there's a lot of MK Ultra that's obviously going on in the news. And what's really strange is the term, even the term of news is an acronym. Have you seen this before? That news is an acronym, meaning Northeast, West, and South. So that it spans everybody, right? And it's constantly just getting to everybody. Okay. And the problem with that is that, you know, people are, you know, you're tuning into a television program, and they've done studies, after 60 seconds, you're falling into a light trance. Well, now your thoughts aren't your own, and you're sponging, you're becoming a sponge for all that information, to where you think that the thoughts that are yours are really somebody else's. But because you were in a light trance, you were MK Ultra'd. And that's really a big problem. And I think that a lot of people truly are actually waking up to that. That's why, you know, a lot of these big news organizations are crumbling. Like CNN is hanging on by a thread, and probably Fox News and all of the bigger news programs, because people are seeing that, like, there's a polarity within these news programs that, you know, look, we don't want, you know, CNN's version of the news. I don't want Fox News's version of the news. Just tell me what the fuck's going on. You know, it should be that simple. But whenever you're being MK Ultra to believe one thing or another, there's harm in that. And I do believe that, you know, that's done on purpose. Obviously, it has to be.
Well, there's harm in it. And maybe I'd offer this reframing, which is that it's going to be empowering. The more people that wake up to it, they'll realize how easy it is to slip into that. And so, you know, it's just kind of, it ties back into our bullying conversation of, you know, we are in a sense being bullied by the news. And so once you're able to realize that you're being bullied, you can then shift your energy into understanding how you can overcome it. You can understand what ideas are yours, what ideas are not yours. And so for those who are truly open-minded and who are truly seeking new ideas, fresh ideas, ideas that are going to upgrade our system, that will bring us into an age of enlightenment. Well, you know, first of all, here they are, but more importantly, you'll be able to find those for yourselves. You won't have to have me tell you. You'll find it by connecting with your true authentic nature.
I agree, dude. Yeah, there's, you know, it's been said for a very long time that this is a spiritual war. And I don't know if a lot of people can disagree with that. So I do appreciate you bringing spirituality into, you know, this into the governmental realm, because I think that it's absolutely needed, because a lot of these politicians, they send people off to war and they're not even thinking about the countless lives that are being stolen. The only focus that they're focused on is just, you know, they have a certain objective that they're trying to get to, and that's all that matters. And it's taking the soul out of the human, and that's sad. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm anti-war by any means. I think that sometimes it's inevitable. Sometimes somebody's going to encroach upon your land and try and take what's yours, and I'll be damned if somebody's trying to take my shit. But that being said, whenever we're funding wars that have absolutely no reason for us to be involved, yeah, I mean, get out of there.
But I mean, you also, like we always say, you got to follow the money trail. The Houthi rebels right now, if anybody's curious how and why they've gotten the rockets that they have, and you want to follow the money trail through Saudi Arabia and to American politics, it's not a hard line to track. You want to follow why we have spent so much money in Ukraine as opposed to anywhere else on Earth, and there's like, you know, 7 genocides currently being waged globally. Why is Ukraine getting all of our funding and resources and attention and time? Out of nowhere, this Israel thing happens, and now I'm just saying, as we mature and become aware of the world in which we live, you're right. We can then stand up to the bullies that is the news networks. We have the internet. We have live on the ground footage right now. We have the ability to test our sources and to have the discernment to make correct actions and correct opinions for ourselves. We don't have to regurgitate the information that's been shoved down our throats. We can, in fact, be free, independent thinkers. And I think that that's more or less what your party is trying to gear towards and trying to awaken, so to speak. You're not looking for the hardcore left or the hardcore right. You're looking for the people who are willing to actually input ideas into this country to make it what it should be.
The age-old idea of don't tread on me, sir.
Yeah, you know? The middle, right down the middle. That's exactly where this party is. It's. I mean, to me, and I feel like this gets overused, but to me, these policies just feel like common sense. To me, anytime I've talked to these people, nobody ever combats it. The big questions are like, where's the money going to come from? But that's a very easy conversation to get past, because it's, look at how much money we're spending on killing innocent people. Let's stop doing that, and we will be a very rich country. Why don't we give that money to the people? And yeah, and even more so, maybe this will be a fun thing to touch on here. It's just like, you know, you brought up about it being a spiritual warfare, and it's an understatement. It's very much an understatement. And there's, I know that a lot more will come out in regards to that as we move down this path, but that's definitely something for people to keep their eye on as we move forward, as people start to unplug from the media. A lot more information in regards to that will come out in due time.
Right. Well, speaking of the spiritual war, I mean, there was something that you kind of really wanted to touch on as far as, and I know this is a very polarizing topic, and I don't mean to put you on the seat here, but obviously whenever you get into politics, you got to talk about abortion and abortion rights. Where do you and your party sit on abortion, or, you know, illegal, legal? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, my thoughts are is that we kind of just hit my cutoff time, and maybe this is not a conversation I think that can be had within 5 minutes. So I want to say this, like, again, I'm a huge fan of everything you guys are doing. So let's leave this as an open conversation. I'd love to, at your discretion, come back on anytime you guys want to ask. So maybe we leave this as an open dialogue for the next time that we meet.
Sounds like a plan, brother.
I love it. Yeah, I know that that's not something that can be simply dove into. I forgot that we were kind of running up on our end time here. Don't mean to leave a cliffhanger, but if anything else,
you're just kicking the fucking hornet's nest, dude. That's all you're doing.
It just gets the people more excited to listen to the next
going.
One. I mean, thank you so much. I think you did it on purpose.
I think you actually did it on purpose. You knew.
Right. He knew damn good and well what time it was. He knew.
Politics, it's a dirty game, bro.
Oh, you bastard.
We're cleaning it up.
Right. And that's all we can ask for. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming to spend your time with us. And also by, you know, putting your 2 cents and throwing your hat into the ring of the dirty, disgusting, musty swamp. I know it's disgusting, and you're doing something that's very hard, and I know that you're probably, to be honest, bro, you're probably going to be going through a lot of shit on the way there. So especially if you make a name for yourself. So definitely prayers and good vibes to you. Thank you so much for what you believe in and what you're doing. I mean, you're literally putting your money where your mouth is, and I think that that is a very honorable thing to do.
Noble, for sure, man.
Appreciate it. I mean, and you know, as dark as all of that may sound to me, it just energizes me. I've done difficult things my entire life. And so I probably, if it was easy, I wouldn't be doing it. And if it was easy, everyone would do it. So, you know, it excites me. It definitely excites me where we're going, excites me where we're at. And yeah, I mean, thank you so much, guys, for having me on. Guys, go if the audience is wants to learn more, go to Clayton24.com. You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, at Clayton Q Terry. And yeah, I have a podcast, Traveling to Consciousness. I'm posting more stuff about the campaign, policies, current events, stuff like that. So go check that out to hear more information. And yeah, if you want to get brainwashed, if you're going to get MK Ultra'd by me, go listen to that more frequently. But seriously, use your discernment. I mean, even if it's me, even if it sounds right, use your discernment. I mean, it's, you have all the answers. That's the thing, is I don't. It's all in you. That's why we're returning the power to the people. But I don't want to drag on too much more. I really appreciate you guys, and thank you for everything you do.
Of course.
Coming on, bro.
Thank you. Big, big thanks to you, sir. So yeah, we will have all the links of which the cult members, if they want to be able to reach out to you or just follow you on this political journey or even in your spiritual journey on your podcast. I know that, you know, a lot of people would definitely be interested in listening to that and seeing you grow in this political arena. So, I mean, hey, dude, if your idealism towards, you know, changing up the system, if it actually works, bro, I mean, I hope it does.
Rephrase your question. When it works.
When it works. That's where we're going. All right. The power of positivity. So yeah, I mean, awesome work. Yeah, we definitely can't wait to have you back on. We'll dive in deeper into some other topics. And like I said, we'll have all of your links down in the show notes. So yeah, that's it. Anyhow, until next time, this was another beautiful episode of The Cult of Conspiracy. And my name is Jonathan.
I'm Jacob.
And there's one very important, extremely vital piece of information we need you to learn just as soon as humanly possible. Open up that third eye. I really wasn't trying to kick the hornet's nest there at the end. Honestly, well, no, the only reason I brought it up is because he said that we were eventually going to get on that topic. That's the only reason why I brought it up.
I figured.
No, it's cool. I think it was perfect. I think you perfectly, you know, whatever. Even if it was on purpose, it wasn't on purpose, whatever.
I mean, honestly, I honestly hate talking about abortion because it
does. You bring
does,
it up a lot.
Well, I mean, is it not a fucking topic that everybody talks about?
Don't mention it. This isn't good for like a content purpose. But I'm like, you know what? No, this is a political conversation. Our boy is taking a platform. So it's like, no.
If there was ever a right way to talk about it, it would be this way.
This is, in fact, the time or place. Yeah. So, yeah, no. But then, the time ran out. So, yeah, we're going to have you back on, man.
Yeah, dude, it's the ultimate cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect. No, it's going to work out. It works out perfectly because people are going to be like, oh, shit. And then I bet you'll get comments that will be like, oh, you got to have him back on for abortion. And
for sure.
You know, it'll hook people. It was great. Yeah. It worked out perfectly. So,
yeah, dude.
You know, it's funny. Right when I looked down right when you started that and I was like, oh, we're at time. I was like, we're not talking about this right now.
Yeah.
Right. So when exactly are you running? When is this happening?
Running right now, but November 2024 will be the election.
Okay, so during the presidential election.
Yeah, November 6th or 7th. I'm not sure the exact date.
So you are currently actively on the campaign trail for the next year.
Actively on it.
Let's go, man.
Dude, I mean, it's how are you getting the funding to be able to do all this shit? It's got to be tough, right? I mean,
well, when you get involved with certain political realms, they put you in touch with people that want to donate to your cause.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
Like a big thing, or it's typically a big help. But because they're starting a party from the ground up, they don't have any prior affiliations. So I feel like a lot of this is crowdsourcing and a lot of this is out of y'all's back pocket.
Mostly the back pocket. I haven't received any donations at this point. Still trying to figure it out. Like, a lot of this is very much just figure it out as you go. So I'm making sure I do it all by the book. So there's like extra research that's getting put into these things. So, you know, if you go to the donation page, it's not up yet, but I'm collecting emails so that once we finally get all the pieces in place to make sure that it's like, oh, hey, you know, you can donate now. But pretty much everything is just, it's kind of simple. You just post stuff on Instagram. You talk to people on podcasts. Like, you don't need, I don't see that you need millions of dollars to run a campaign. It's, you know, me putting money forward. I have a website. I pay $10 a month for the domain. You know, there's really not, or maybe it's $10 a year for the domain. So right. It's really not, you know, as labor intensive as it needs to be.
I'm sure a lot, that.
You know, talk about waste, fraud, abuse. This is a huge part. It's like they just wasted in campaign dollars. I mean, Trump, you know, I think, I forget what the spending was, but Hillary outspent Trump like almost tenfold, I think, in the 2016 election.
She was doing Trump the old won. Way.
Yeah, you don't need the money. I mean, you can do this without money.
And that was with donors. That was with the entire DNC behind it. That wasn't $10 million of Hillary Clinton's personal funds. That was $10 million of the campaign total. Right, Donald Trump funded his entire thing start to finish by his damn self.
Well, and he also, like you were saying, he utilized getting his word out through social media platforms, which a lot of other, you know, people who were running didn't really implement that, and they thought, oh well, you know, that's not going to really put the word out. But you know, kind of Trump really is the one that sent that, I would say, or started that, I would say.
So, right. And I mean, especially with the power of TikTok nowadays, I mean, you just understand how to make viral content, which I've been training myself over the last 2 years to do it for the podcast, and now it's like, oh wait, here's even a more noble cause than the podcast, so let me just start making viral content for that, you know. And you know, the maybe the quote unquote downside is that you don't get all of your ideas out there, but it at least starts the process of putting into people's mind, right? Like we're talking about this being a mind game. You know, you need to start the idea by putting it into people's mind that, hey, I'm a politician now. That's a part of my thing. And so here we go. This is what we're doing. This is how we're going to make America, you know, prosperous in the future. This is how we're going to bring freedom for all. This is how we're going to restore peace and harmony. And people will be confused by that. You know, it'll confuse some people along the way, but over time people will see it. And so that's, you know, you got to start this now, and I'm excited. It's going to be cool. It's going to be very cool.
Hell yeah. And we got time to have you on the next one, because yours isn't until 2024, the end of the year. So
we have all this year to get him on as many times as we can to pump out his message.
Dude, you come on and campaign as often as you want. This is your board here, sir.
Well, anytime you guys get a ping where you're like, oh, we need to talk to Clayton about this, I'll be a hard yes.
Absolutely, awesome, brother.
It's good to have that. Good to have somebody who understands the politics at a deeper level. I mean, I'm sure you diving into all this shit, you're really just seeing like how dirty and swindly these people can be. So it's good to have somebody like that who has a better understanding.
Well, and even more so, right? Like we think, and I heard it in your language a couple of times, but I've also heard it in other people's language, where people think it's like a very difficult and complex issue. Like these issues are so complex, but the more you dive into it, the more simple it becomes. They don't have policies in place that they want to actually solve the problems. That's why it's difficult, is because the solution that the people want is not the solution that the people in power want either. Or it's a difference, right? It's a different solution that they want. People in power want power and money. The people want, you know, prosperity and what was the other one? No wars. They want peace. They want peace and prosperity. And so there's a clash there. In order, how do you make both of those happen? And the honest answer is you can't. You can't serve yourself and the people. So once you start digging into it and you're like, oh, we could have all these solutions if we just serve the people. Oh, well, these are easy solutions. And that's essentially what this platform comes back to, is like they're very simple solutions, but they seem very confusing and, you know, weird and whatnot, because no one else has talked about them, because it's not what they're allowed to talk about.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I agree. All the way. So yeah, we'll definitely get you back on here, dude. I know you got shit to do today, so we'll let you go ahead and get to it. We got another show we're getting ready to do on the beginning or the genesis of Christmas, if you must. So that's going to be a fun one. It's going to be the Christmas Day episode. So we're that's really cool. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I don't think Jesus was even born on Christmas, right? It was like April or something.
It's an argument if it was sometime between spring and summer, based off of like fields were being grazed in by what animals per that area of the world, per the time of year that it's supposed to have happened.
I'm so happy we're talking about that and bringing that up. That's great.
Later on, it was like big festivals around the winter solstice, and Yule had its own thing, and they had Saturnalia going on. So there was like already massive festivals across all cultures at this time of year. So it was like, hey, I got an idea. Let's just smorgasbord this shit and make it about a baby. Y'all with me? And everybody's like, yes. Yes. Dude. So anyway, we're going to do an episode on it.
Yes. That's dope. I'll have to tune into that one.
Hell yeah, man. All right, Clay, we'll let you get out of here.
Appreciate you guys.
Of course, brother, anytime.
Thanks for doing your thing, and I can see you guys are killing it, so I'm very happy for you guys. It's so cool.
Appreciate doing our best, man.
That's all you can do.
All right, brother.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, see you guys. Peace.
Peace.
So hopefully you guys enjoyed that podcast. I have been in contact with Jonathan and Jacob recently, and hopefully we're planning for another episode to come out shortly. Hopefully they'll dive into more stuff. Hopefully we'll get to that abortion conversation, which is a very important one, and I know can trigger a lot of people. So as always, let's remember to stay calm during these conversations, because staying calm will always produce the best outcome for everyone. And at the end of the day, hopefully that's what we're all striving for, is the best outcome for everybody. So with that being said, I hope you enjoyed this series, this type of programming, because I enjoyed it. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it, and I'm appreciate any feedback. If you live in Pittsburgh, let me know, because I am starting to collect signatures. I need 4,000 to get on the ballot in the 17th district. So if you know anyone that lives in the 17th district of PA, send them my information. Like, let me get a signature from them, because this is going to be done for all of us. Like, it's more than just me. I need people on the ground relaying this information to other people. That's how we're going to get this message out, is by word of mouth. I don't have millions and millions and billions of dollars to spend on this campaign like majority of the other people who are in contention. So it's up to us. So if you guys want this future to be a reality, got to help me as much as possible. And with that being said, I do take 100% responsibility for it, which I think is something that a lot of our leaders in today's society do not do, which is take responsibility. But that's a whole different conversation. I want to let you guys go, because I've appreciated that you've taken this much time to listen to me. So with that being said, if we don't talk in this dimension, then I know for sure we will be talking when we see each other in the sixth dimension.